Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is on vacation. Josh Beard is in for PG, and Sean Mapes, of course, is behind the glass as always. And you guys, listen to me. Cobos Q is the real deal. Come to Cobos Q. This Friday, our summer circuit is going to be there. It's their location in Edo. We're going to be there bright and early at 7 a.m. Come hang out. Enjoy the amazing food, the full bar. Get tipsy if you'd like. Just don't drive home. Long weekend started with some fun. And they're giving away some great prizes. A new grill from Texas Star Grill Shop and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel. So this Friday, we'll see you at Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk Street. It's just a little walk from Minute Maid Park. That's going to be fun, guys.
Oh, it's good. So good. Their food is so good. I definitely have to go because do I have to be at the show on Friday or can I go to Cobos Q? I guess I'll be at the show.
Yeah, I think we should probably do the show and then maybe mosey on over and get some food.
Well, no, you'll be there doing the show.
Oh, I knew that. Totally knew that.
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
So we'll be eating copious amounts of everything that we shouldn't eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be perfect. I love that.
Between bites of whatever you're having, you're going to be talking about who has the most dog in them.
Right.
Because that will carry us for the rest of the week.
Right, exactly.
Dog.
Name, dog, bite. That's exactly
Tyron Matthew,
that's all you have to do.
Mean Joe Green, Earl Campbell.
Dogs.
Dogs, says 0061.
Dan Campbell has that dog in him.
Hey, nice transition, Sean. I've taught you well. We are talking about some of the legal issues that have been in the NFL this offseason. And a lot of them have been among owners, guys. This, of course, and we'll get into this more, stems from Deshaun Watson and the hearing that is currently going on. The Honorable Sue L. What is it?
Robinson.
Robinson, thank you.
The way I remember is Mrs.
Cheers
Robinson.
Cheers to you, Mrs. Robinson, yeah. Yes. So Sue L. Robinson is currently at that hearing. She is a retired judge. But apparently Roger Goodell called her to step in for this new CBA agreement. So she is the neutral arbitrator. She is going to come up with the punishment she sees fit, and then it could really go a myriad of different directions. I admittedly and naively thought that it would be cut and dry. I thought we're going to know by Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, what Deshaun Watson's suspension is going to be, punishment, whatever. It turns out that might not be the case. Here's Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee Show talking about what different directions this could go after the hearing.
Whenever this is over, either tomorrow or Wednesday, then the judge has some options. She can issue a ruling, which is, okay, like he violated the personal conduct policy, here's how many games, or she could say he did not violate the personal conduct policy, in which case that's a wrap and it is over, or she could ask for more. She could ask for briefs, which would then have to be filed within 3 days, which would prolong it a little more. So there's several things that could happen. But yes, this is the first time where it's like a resolution is imminent. And that will tell us a real lot about this coming season.
I really hope she doesn't ask for briefs because then it's going to prolong it. And I want to know what his suspension is. And I want to know if the NFLPA is going to fight it, if Roger Goodell is going to agree, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys foresee happening with this hearing today?
I would be surprised, and look, I'm wrong all the time, but I would be surprised if we hear much from this hearing today. What I think is going to happen is Sue Robinson's going to gather as much information from Deshaun as she can, talk to him about his experiences, see how honest, or at least how honest she thinks he's being with her, and then take that information and start to juxtapose that against all of the information that she's already looked up. I don't know that we'll hear of anything from it today. I'd be surprised if we heard of anything from it today. But I think it's just going to be a conversation between the two of them, about his experiences and exactly what happened from his side. And she's going to decide from there. Maybe she'll decide to be a little bit more lenient if he's more honest with her, more honest about what he did. But If he starts to try to go down a rabbit hole, he's probably way, way majorly prepared. But if he starts to go down a rabbit hole of lies and she starts to find those holes, his punishment is going to be way more severe. Or at least she's going to recommend a punishment that's going to be way more severe. But if he's at least a little open and honest about some of the stuff that happened and shows a little bit of remorse, maybe he'll get off a little bit lighter than he would have otherwise.
We'll see what happens. I think that it's probably good for there to be a neutral arbitrator, but you have to think that the politics going on behind the scenes right. is crazy. Can you imagine the conversations that Rusty Hardin or some of the lawyers or folks have tried to have with this woman? Can you imagine the conversations that people have tried to have with, you know, have with Roger Goodell, maybe from Andrew Berry to Kevin Stefanski, or hell, maybe other owners saying, look, Deshaun's good for the league.
Right.
Having Deshaun, you know, so it'll be interesting. Sean, what do you foresee happening? What do you think will happen with the hearing today?
I do think that this will be kind of the, I don't know, the first phase of it is today and tomorrow. I imagine there'll be some sort of deliberation, some, like you were saying, some cases being laid out by each of them, probably some backroom deals trying to be made.
That's exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And then either later this week or next week, I'd imagine that some sort of formal ruling comes out from Ms. Sue L. Robinson.
Sue L. Robinson, the honorable.
What a retirement gig!
I mean,
you think she was like, oh, some guys are going to, you know, be caught speeding or something, throw some one game suspensions around, and the first job she gets is an unprecedented case.
Yeah, unprecedented is a good word. Also, you think it buys her a couple more homes in the Hamptons? The NFL freaking pays. There have been a lot of legal issues in the NFL within the last year. Some of them probably happened a long time ago and are just now coming to light. The latest with Dan Snyder is that he had declined to accept the House committee's subpoena. This is per ESPN. Washington Commanders owner has not accepted the subpoena issued by the U.S. House Oversight Committee investigating allegations he fostered a toxic work culture. The level of arrogance you have to be to say, no thanks, I don't want a subpoena, is through the roof.
I feel like this is just another huge indictment on Dan Snyder, period. And all I know, Roger Goodell went in front of the committee and said that we feel like our investigation was thorough. We feel like what we did, the punishment that we doled out, was thorough. The work environment with the Washington Commanders has changed. It is different. We have instilled a new HR in the organization that's doing really good things. All of this has changed. I don't understand Dan Snyder trying to skirt this subpoena. It's arrogant.
I think it's going to make
arrogance.
It work. Oh, worse. Excuse me.
Oh, it, by far. I think there's no bigger indictment than saying, no, I'm not going to come testify in front of the House committee. I think that's ridiculous. That's the stupidest thing you could do. And if this, it's imagine being like, okay, you have to come to court and defend yourself for this crime that you're being that you allegedly committed, that somebody else is saying you committed this crime. You have to come to court and defend yourself. And you were like, nah, I'm good. Like, what are people immediately going to think? That you were for sure in the wrong, that you did something even worse. And now you're trying to skirt the legal issue. You're trying to skirt the people that are trying to figure out exactly what happened. This is going to be way worse for the Washington Commanders.
I agree, and I hope they get punished, yes. Because they were stupid for a very long time and tried to hide it. All right, what other legal issues, guys? Deshaun Watson, that goes without saying. Jerry Jones, are you the father? Are you not the father? A couple months ago, I think it was back in March, a woman filed a suit, 26 years old, saying Jerry Jones is my daddy and I want some cash.
And the car accident that he got in.
That was, yes, which ended up, I think, being like worse than people thought it was.
Yeah.
So Jerry Jones, look, he's in good with Roger Goodell. I never see Jerry Jones getting in any trouble whatsoever. Mark Davis was an interesting one because Dan Ventrell, who had been with the Raiders for 17 years, filed that lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Today, Mark Davis terminated my employment as president of Las Vegas Raiders. I've committed almost 18 years of my life, blah, blah, blah. Mark Davis apparently fostered a hostile work environment. Dan Ventrell complained about it, so there's a lawsuit there, I believe. And then, of course, you got John Gruden suing the league because while they were investigating the Commanders, they saw emails that John Gruden had been quote-unquote insensitive. And John Gruden, I don't agree with what he said over the emails, but I do understand where he's like, well, WTF, why am I the only one that got fired when you were investigating Dan Snyder to begin with?
It was disappointing to see from Gruden, but my thing the entire time was, are we really surprised? Like, were we really surprised that he would say stuff like that?
Right.
Like, I wasn't at all.
Nobody that played – when Paul and I interviewed Keyshawn – was it Keyshawn Johnson who had talked about John Gruden in the past? And then there have been a lot of people that have basically said not surprised.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've all seen who John Gruden is. We've seen him in some, like, in some Walt Disney-type moments on either ESPN or doing these, like, fun little things. And obviously, he minds his P's and Q's there. But you have to imagine, in some of the things that we've also seen John Gruden in, that the guy is definitely pretty R-rated, a little NC-17 behind the scenes. Nobody should be surprised. Disappointed by his comments, not surprised by his comments. But yeah, it's been a drama-filled year for the NFL. Like, some crazy stuff has been going on. And I'm really interested to see where both of these two cases go. What happens with Deshaun Watson? We already know what each of us wants from the Deshaun Watson punishment. But I'm really interested to see where this road goes for Dan Snyder and the Washington Commanders with him trying to skirt the committee. Where does the drama go from here, I guess, is what I'm looking forward to the most.
I think it's going to be interesting, to say the least. And I think that, as we've talked about regarding Dan Snyder, there could be that group, that pack mentality of powerful men and the owners particularly wanting to protect each other. Because even though they may think Dan Snyder is a POS, some of them may have car accidents, secret daughters that they don't want anybody else to know about. So it becomes that pack mentality. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Astros back in action. Plus, a particular NBA player uses Beyonce to make an announcement, and he is familiar to Houston. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, the Astros split the series with the Yankees in the Bronx today. They play the New York Mets in New York as well. That's at 6:10 p.m. tomorrow. They'll have a little noon action as well. How you guys feeling? Like, this is their chance to get another couple wins against the state of New York. Obviously, they split the series with the Yankees, but it'll be a good bounce back opportunity.
Yeah, these games against the Mets have been really impressive. So I'm excited to see them bounce back after that last game against the Yankees.
6-3 loss, I believe,
right,
because of the Judge walk-off.
Should have been a 3-0 victory, but that's whatever. It's fine. I'm over. I'm not sad about it anymore. But if they could bounce back against the Mets and take these last two games against them, I'm going to be really, really happy, because other than the Yankees, the other New York team, the Mets, is one of the teams everybody in the U.S. is talking about. Everybody in the country is talking about how great the Mets are this year. Now, they don't have Scherzer. They haven't had Scherzer and DeGrom, which is a huge deal for them.
Which is, when I saw that they both, I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
To the Mets' credit, it has not been it.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. That makes them even scarier when they do get both of those guys back. But against a team that's done really, really well so far this year, against a team that the entire country is talking about in the Mets, the fact that they beat them twice before, now they can take these next two games against them as well and just take this full season series against the Mets. I'm excited about it. I think this has been... I was concerned, I was worried about what this stretch of baseball was going to look like for the Astros. What were we going to see from the bats? What were we going to see from Bregman? What were we going to see from the guys who have been hitting well, who have been consistent the entire time? What's the pitching staff going to look like? There was a little inconsistency with the bullpen. But other than that, I've been pretty happy with the way they've played over this stretch and through this New York series of games.
Meanwhile, Rockets news breaking yesterday. 5-time NBA All-Star John Wall, who did not play a game last year, will secure a buyout with the Houston Rockets and become an unrestricted free agent. He's expected, guys, to sign with the Clippers. Not a bad gig if you can get it, being paid 40-some million dollars to not play the sport of which you are paid to play.
Yeah, I want that gig. I've been looking since we talked about John Wall earlier. I've been looking for jobs, and there apparently, it's weird.
Do you usually have to do stuff?
There are no jobs that pay you for not doing anything. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So I have texted my wife. I've said, hello, darling, I need you to go get another job to make more money. So teach and do something else. And I need you to pay me a weekly stipend to sit at home and look pretty for you. So hopefully that's...
Oh, but wait, there's more.
I'm waiting for the response, so hopefully that's...
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure she'll be down for it. Rockets were able... They shaved $6.5 million off of his $47.4 million salary.
Woo! Saving!
Save money.
Yeah, they did save money.
You asked an interesting question before the show. Is he the most disappointing Rockets player ever?
Yeah, this is hard for me to say. I want to say yes. In the history of me watching the Rockets, right? I didn't grow up in Houston, so I didn't get to watch some of the older Rockets teams. I was old enough and enough of an NBA fan to really kind of pay attention to the T-Mac and Yao Ming Rockets, especially the tail end of that, like the 2006-2007 teams. The Rockets have had some interesting teams. They've had the Luis Scola-led Rockets, which were actually a lot of fun to watch.
Go Pacers.
Right. And they've had the James...
He was cool on the Pacers.
The Kyle Lowry-led Rockets. They've had the James Harden-led Rockets. And there have been players who have come and gone. But when you look at the talent that you thought that you were getting in John Wall versus what you actually got in production from John Wall, and you go to, like I said earlier, the Basketball Reference stat sheet that says did not play in parentheses, sat out, it's wildly disappointing to understand what you could have had versus what you had. And I think part of it is the situation, too. I think, yes, he is the most disappointing player the Rockets have ever gotten, because you thought you were getting former all-star, one of the best point guards in the league, insanely athletic John Wall, and you kind of got that for a season, but not really, and then he sat out for a full season.
For me, but he had a history of injuries.
He did a little bit.
The only thing that would deter me from your argument here of being maybe the most, I mean, I think there's no doubt he's one of the most.
Right.
Would just be that when he came here, it was like a gamble to begin with. I will say this. I didn't think that he would not play.
Yeah, I would say that what is John Wall's benefit in this and not being the most disappointing is that we already, or at least I had very low expectations for the John Wall era Rockets to begin with. So I wasn't really disappointed. I just was like, yeah, I thought it was bad. This is probably a little bit worse. I would have probably guessed more than 41 games in
but
two
I would have
years.
Guessed if he wasn't going to play, it would be due to injury, not
yes,
due to him
true.
And Rafael Stone being like, so we're good, I'm not going to play, right? Well, okay, cool.
A part of his major disappointment is the context of which it happened. If James Harden wouldn't have wanted out, let's say James Harden didn't want out, he did want to continue to stay with the Rockets, and then you get to retool a team around James Harden and John Wall, well, what would you have gotten from John Wall then? Like, that's part of that's the part of the context of where the disappointment comes from.
As far as the most disappointing Rockets of all time, I would go, my recent one would probably be Carmelo Anthony, only playing nine games for the Rockets.
That's fair.
And refusing to come off the bench and being exiled from the league.
The only Rockets game I ever got to cover, because technically I only covered Texans and Astros, the only one I ever got to go to cover and got to go to the locker room was one of the Carmelo Anthony games.
One of the seven.
One of the seven games he was actually there in the locker room. I was standing in front of Carmelo. It was great. I loved it.
And then I wasn't personally around for this, but I know, I don't know the full story, but I know part of it is Scottie Pippen, his 1 year on the Rockets.
That. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Coming straight off the Bulls dynasty, they traded for Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, and, I think maybe the context of like over the last 10 years, because somebody's going to send us a text on the text line that's like 35 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Jellybean
Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. If somebody sends that text, 35 years ago, I was 1 year old. So, of course, I wouldn't remember that.
We used to make fun of my papaw because he's from, like, he was a farmer in Indiana, and all of his friends had nicknames that they used as actual names. So, like, one of his friends was literally named Frosty Clearwater.
What?
Very, like, farm name, yeah. And then my grandma,
it's also
who's
an oxymoron.
My grandma, who's an artist, had a friend, another artist, whose name was Salty Seaman. And you can Google name. You can Google.
Oh, no.
You can Google.
Yeah, I know you can Google his name.
Don't Google that. Don't Google that at home or at work, Sean.
If you Google Omar Salty Seaman, he was an artist in Indiana.
Do not Google.
Omar Salty Seaman.
You better go into
real.
Incognito mode first.
How do you spell Seaman?
No. My dad had a friend who legally changed his name to Abel, spelled A-B-A-L, because they would pronounce it A-ball because he accidentally lost a testicle when he was lifting weights one time.
Good for him.
Literally exploded while he was bench
O-M-E-R-S-E-A-M-O-N.
Yeah,
Omer Seaman.
It looks like he professionally went by D. Omer Seaman.
No, he went by Salty Seaman.
None of this.
Salty
we have his paintings. It says Salty Seaman. Yeah. He died in 1997. R.I.P. Yeah,
this is interesting.
Only my hometown. But so 9695 says, because of the large contract, I would say Ryan Anderson. Yeah.
Oh,
when
that's
you,
a great one.
When,
yeah,
that is a good one when you talk about the amount of money.
The thing is, Ryan Anderson was like a key part of their team for 2017. So he had at least 1 year of like acceptable level of basketball play, where John Wall never had that. He had like 20 games maybe of his 40 that he played. But Ryan Anderson is another good one.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook might be the answer to this question.
So that I perfect transition because he was extremely disappointing. Hmm. But he put out a video, and we didn't realize it at the time, but it was a little bit of an announcement. Here's what the video sounded like.
You won't break my soul. 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 I'm telling everybody. Everybody.
So Russell Westbrook singing Houston native Beyonce's new single, You Won't Break My Soul. And
local
whenever,
tie-in. Thank you.
What'd you say?
Local tie-in.
Local, yeah. You're welcome. You're watching KPRC2 Channel News. Russell Westbrook was singing that. And whenever Russell Westbrook posts something like that, we assume it's a subtweet. We assume that there's some context here. And he tweeted that a few minutes before it was announced that he will exercise his $47.1 million option for the 2022-2023 season. He's staying with the Lake Show.
And so Lakers fans, Skip Bayless, the NBA media, you can't break his soul.
You cannot break my soul.
Do you think he's just talking to Skip Bayless? I thought it was just Skip Bayless. Like, I like to think that he's serenading just Skip Bayless. And Skip Bayless is sitting at home watching the video and just being like, I will try to break your soul, Westbrook. It's just like an evil villain. If I were a Lakers fan, I'm beside myself in disappointment right now. If I'm a Lakers player, I can't imagine. Look, I know the Lakers players are going to be like, no, he's our brother. He's playing on our team. We have to back him. Yay, he's back. Woo. But there's no world where if I'm Anthony Davis and LeBron James, I'm excited that Russell Westbrook is opting into that contract and coming back. If I'm LeBron, I'm doing everything I can to try to find a way to get him out of that team and into another arena.
Arena where basketball teams play, homes where you live. I really tried hard.
Wow, and you showed your work on that too.
Thank you. I really tried hard. You live in your home. If you own it, listen to me. Because I know you don't like shopping for home insurance, but it does not have to be a hassle anymore. TGS has made it easy as it's ever been. You can instantly shop 36 carriers and you get a full quote in just 15 seconds. All you have to do is send a single text. So take your phone right now, text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. They're going to ask for your home address, you send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This is a real company. This is a legit company. Their online rating among their customers is nearly perfect. And last year, their average customer, guys, saved $870 or more. What could you do with that cash? So again, I know you don't like to shop for home insurance, but this is easy. You have no excuses. Listen to me. Text M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
This is usually where Paul is singing, doing his best Gwen Stefani impersonation. Rip Paul. He's not
Does
dead
he
just
do
on
it?
Vacation.
I'm just a girl.
It's louder and more aggressive.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Paul.
Oh yeah. Hey, I'm Paul Gallant. Hey, welcome in everybody to Paul Gallant. Look, we're talking about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook. Okay. Don't worry, Paul will always be here in spirit whenever I want to summon him.
Wait, talk about Tom Brady and Paul's voice.
All right, let me channel Paul again. Hey, I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant. Hey, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback who has ever played in the NFL. He's the greatest Patriot ever. And I know because I'm Paul Gallant. Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
That's actually Josh Beard. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. And I hope we save that cut forever and always, because that was a... When you said you did impersonations, no offense, but a lot of people do impersonations or say they do. So I was like, yeah, we'll see. And then you did that and I was like, oh no, that's really good.
And my favorite thing to do is just to do the, I'm Paul Gallant. Ah, shut up. Because he always says, ah, shut up. Ah, shut up, I'm Pogalot.
It's like the slight Boston accent, but it's the just, Boston volume is there.
It's just yelling with a slight Boston accent. That's yeah. literally Paul. That's all it is just
right.
how loud can you be with that? I love you, Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we love Paul. Is we
he
hope
listening?
He's,
check
he's,
the walls.
I don't think he's awake yet if no, that's his vacation
true.
Is going out.
If he is awake, he's not coherent.
All right, so the Houston teams have made their plans clear. We know that the Rockets are building around Jalen Green. They kind of got the old guys out of there. They're, you know, exciting draft picks, etc. The Texans, we think we know their plan. You never really know with this Houston regime, but Nick Caserio seems to have a good grip on it. They're building around Davis Mills. They trust him. And you can tell that they have a direction that they want to go. Whether or not people agree with it or not is up to you. So what are the expectations for these two teams? Now, the Astros are the professional team that we never have to worry about in
right.
Houston, thanks to the fact that they've won a World Series, they've gone to a couple more, and their vision and the way that they utilize the farm system and the amount of money that they will spend or not spend
right.
Is very well known. We saw that play out with the Carlos Correa situation as well. So we know what the Astros are doing. But it's been a question mark for the Rockets and Texans. What do you guys, and of course, we always want our listeners to chime in, 713-780-3776, or you can tweet us, Twitch us, etc. What do you guys think the Texans and the Rockets, what are the expectations that you have?
Well, so I have really high expectations for the Rockets moving forward. I really do. Maybe not immediately next year, but my evaluation, a lot of evaluation from actual scouts and the people who really watch these
sure.
guys on players like Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, I really feel like they lucked into Tari Eason for what he can provide an NBA team. Like here, when I say I love Tari Eason, and what a lot of people don't realize about him is I say I love him for the way he fits the Rockets and who he can be, because he can be an elite defensive player. I really truly believe he has the ability to become like a Bruce Bowen type of player for the Rockets. And that is a role that they need on this team. They've got some good guard play. They've got some good players, but they don't really have right now that lockdown defensive guy yet. Tari Eason is a guy who can lock down four spots right now in the NBA. And moving forward, as he continues to grow and he continues to develop, I think he could probably lock down all five spots if he really, really wanted to. And if they can develop him that way, which is that, I mean, you talk about defensive versatility.
Sure.
So you add Tari Eason and Jabari Smith to this roster with KPJ and Jalen Green and Alpi. And I really, I'm looking at what the Rockets can be in 3 years, in 4 years, as they can develop. And I think it's very, very reminiscent of, I want to say Golden State, but I'm not going to say they're going to accomplish Golden State things, but being able to put together and draft guys who fit certain roles a certain way, the same way they did with Steph, then they did with Klay, they did with Draymond. That's the three core around the death lineup for the Golden State Warriors. And then they've continued to add guys like Gary Payton II.
Right.
They've constantly added through the draft talent that can continue to help them out.
And Rafael Stone has said it's a slow process.
Yes.
And that's not what NBA fans, that's not what a fan of any franchise wants to hear.
Right.
But the bottom line is that when you look at the amount of money that was spent
yeah.
over the
yeah.
last, you know, 5 years, it is a true rebuild, tried yes. and true, and it's going to take years. Sean, what are your expectations for the Rockets?
Well, my honest expectation is one last thing. I think they're a playoff team 2 years from now.
Okay. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I think that this year is another – they'll be in the lottery, but not the worst team in the league. Yep. I think they'll win a few games, but not enough to really be in any kind of play-in tournament, playoff, eight-seed discussion. But I do think the 23-24 season is where they can kind of make that leap into like actually competing for like trying to win games where wins and losses actually matter, and you feel bad after losses and feel good after wins, where they can in the summer 2023 they do have some cap space opening up thanks to John Wall's $41 million coming off the books. And you have to imagine they're going to trade Eric Gordon. They let Christian Wood go basically for nothing. No long-term salary. So next offseason, they'll have some cap space to work with, bring in some veterans, some young veterans that can kind of build around this young core that they have. And I do think that by 20, the 23-24 seasons when they should be competing for, you know, the play-in, kind of be like last year's Grizzlies.
When Jalen Green is like in his mid-late 20s.
He's 20 years old.
He's 20 right now.
He's 20,
So in 4 years, 5 years, they're going to be freaking dangerous.
I'm glad you said the Grizzlies. That's the comparison I was looking for.
That's the model.
Jabari Smith feels like a Jaren Jackson Jr. type. He's a little
complimentary star.
A little smaller with better ball skills, but yeah, exactly. Jalen Green's the Ja Morant. They've put together all these pieces that fit in the right spots. That's exactly what the Rockets are doing. So the expectations, I think over the next 5 years, we should see them deep in a playoff.
I agree.
Yeah, to clarify, I'm not saying last year's Grizzlies, like the one that was the two seed in the West. The year before,
when they were in the play-in.
In the play-in, yep. They beat the Warriors to be the eighth seed.
I think for the Texans, my expectations, and some of it is based on the AFC in general, because you have to consider the competition. With the Texans, I think the best the Texans fans can hope for is an AFC South championship, maybe in 2 or 3 years. But then the AFC is what it is, and it's going to be for a while. So for the Texans, my best case scenario is that in 3 years, Ryan Tannehill has shown his true colors. I've never believed in Tannehill, never will. Matt Ryan at that point is probably retired. Trevor Lawrence, let's bank on him not being a generational talent. The Texans win the AFC South in 3 years. They go to the playoffs. They win a game. Maybe two, but the AFC is still going to have Burrow and Herbert and Mahomes and Allen. So for the Texans, I'm not ever putting a Super Bowl trip or even an AFC championship trip within the next 5+ years. They're going to have to find that generational quarterback. They're going to have to be a more stable franchise. But I do think that if they can win the AFC South in 2, maybe 3 years, once the quarterback situations with the other AFC South teams has dwindled, maybe they could mosey their way into a wild card win or a playoff win. What say you?
Yeah, so the Texans are kind of in the spot where the Rockets were last year after they drafted Jalen Green, right? Like, we've only seen one draft from Nick Caserio. We haven't fully seen how he's going to build this team. We don't know what they're going to be able to pull off this season. That's going to really set them up for what they're going to be able to do in the draft and in free agency moving forward. So I think I'm right there with you. Expectation is try to win the AFC South and make it to the playoffs.
Make the most of it.
I'm going to go a little farther, at least when it comes to like the success on the field, AFC South wins some playoffs. Here's my expectations for the team building aspect. My expectation is Davis Mills is not the guy. They get another high draft pick and they go get either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, preferably Bryce Young. And I've been saying this all. This is the plan all along should be use everything you have. And that's what Nick Caserio did in this last draft. Use everything you have to build around the quarterback position. And if Davis Mills isn't that guy, then you get to plug Bryce Young into that spot or C.J. Stroud, because there's going to be a lot of teams trying to vie for that top spot to get these two quarterbacks. You try to build around that guy, bring him in, and continue with the draft picks that you got from the Browns, all the picks that you have, continue to build around that quarterback position and rebuild up the defense. But, I mean, you're looking at a team where if Mechie is as good as we think he can be with Nico Collins, and you still have Brandon Cooks, you've got Brevin Jordan, they add Derek Stingley to the defense, they add Petrie to the defense as well. You can keep adding that talent in the top three rounds of the draft, and you just have picks after picks after picks. Well, if Bryce Young is that guy that you then get to put at the quarterback position at the helm, well, now your future's looking really good. So, like, right now I'm saying AFC South,
sure,
maybe some playoff wins, but depending on what happens with next season and with the draft a year from now, if we have the same conversation, we say, what's the expectation now? And they have Bryce Young and they look like they have a plan that they've built around. Well, my expectation is going to be AFC, you know, divisional round, AFC championship round, possibly
most difficult, you know, position in American sports to nail down is that generational quarterback. Sean, what about you?
I was just going to say, Josh really, I think, hit the nail on the head when you said that the Texans are basically a year behind the Rockets, the Rockets rebuild is, just in the simple fact of the Rockets traded James Harden, I think it was January 2021, and the Texans traded Deshaun Watson
literally a year,
March 2022. And so that really puts them behind. And like you said, I think the AFC South, always winnable AFC South, basically since Peyton Manning retired. And I think in the NFL that kind of ladder to the to competing for an AFC championship or at least a divisional round win is a lot closer to reality for the Texans.
Hmm. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a boxing match coming up, and we are excited for this one. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, there's going to be a boxing match, men, that are going to, it's going to happen. I'm very excited for this. He's going to box somebody in the HEB parking lot.
I'm not boxing anymore.
And he's going to say, my wife is a teacher and all I wanted was some snacks, damn it. Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson, this is according to ESPN.com, are going to meet in an exhibition boxing match. That will be July 30th. It's going to occur under the undercard of something called Social Gloves 2. The main event features Austin McBroom versus an Ensign Gibb. I don't know what that is.
What are those names?
I don't know what that means.
Sound like you,
but that was the announcement.
That sound like two different types of cars or car brands. Sound
well,
like
we all know I'm good with pronouncing names.
Austin McBroom sounds like a Texas Tech quarterback.
Yeah, it does. Wow. Or like something from Friday Night Lights, like a quarterback that would have played against a Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna have, this is July 30th. It's going to be at Crypto.com Arena, the artist formerly known as Staples Center in Los Angeles. Heyo.
Yeah, I'm in. I want to watch this. I would absolutely love to watch Adrian Peterson destroy Le'Veon Bell apart. I feel like...
Who's going to be more in shape?
Oh, I feel like Adrian Peterson's going to be more in shape. I don't know that I've ever seen a time or could think of a time where Adrian Peterson's just been an out-of-shape guy. But the last time we saw Le'Veon Bell in the NFL wasn't that long ago either. Neither of them have been great. In their last two stints as running backs in the NFL. I'm going to say Adrian Peterson. I think he'd be more in shape.
What about you, Sean? Who's more in shape?
I'll never bet against Adrian Peterson in anything. That guy's a mutant. I think... you know what? In celebrity boxing, this is me as a celebrity boxing expert coming in. It doesn't matter how well you can fight because chances are neither of these guys can really fight.
Right.
You know what matters the most? Who has that dog in him? Adrian Peterson has that dog in him.
Who's got the dog in him?
Oh, I'm so mad that
Austin McBroom also has that dog in him.
Austin McBroom. There's no way somebody with the name Austin McBroom has dog in them.
You know what? I feel like he has to have the most dog in him. You know what I'd be able to do with the last name McBroom? My last name is Beard. That's a garbage last name. My last name is Facial Hair. It's awful. I grew up my entire life with people calling me Mustache, which is like...
Wait, that is the most unoriginal...
It's the least creative...
It's like looking at me and saying, brown hair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Glasses.
But McBroom? Oh, do you understand? My logo would be a broom. Duh. Or a broom in the McDonald's logo. That might be too on the nose, though. But my logo would be a broom. And my slogan would be sweeping these fools all the time. And you would get made fun of so much for the name McBroom, you would have to learn how to fight everybody. So
the boy named Sue.
Exactly. Not as bad, but real close. So he's definitely got that dog in him.
Dog. It is time for a segment on Vanessa and Gallant, of which we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, so after the brawl between the Mariners and Angels, a fan decided to do something nice for Jesse Winker.
Okay.
She sent him a pizza.
Ooh.
She had a pizza delivered to him at the stadium. She tweeted a screenshot showing that she had ordered and sent one pepperoni pizza from Mountain Mike's Pizza to Angel Stadium, and she used DoorDash. The fan later tweeted a message, screenshotted a message from the delivery driver saying that he had had a hard time finding parking at the stadium, but that it was delivered. A journalist then confirmed, used their sources, not only did Jesse Winker get the pizza, he said it was really good. So a fan successfully sent a pizza to Jesse Winker. I love this. I love this for the fan. I hope she gets like a signed baseball or something.
So one of the things I have done before as a freelancer, like sometimes freelance work is really great. sometimes it dries up and it's a little rough. Anybody who's worked in the freelance creation or freelance writing or anything, you understand how that works. So what I have done at times to kind of like help keep things afloat is I've been a Shipt shopper. So I've worked at Shipt. I've done grocery shopping for people and I've delivered it to them.
So I actually don't know what Shipt is.
Shipt is a company. It's owned by Target where people order their full groceries. Like sometimes $400 worth of groceries, you go in, you shop it for them. You pay for it using a Shipt card.
I wish I was rich.
And you deliver it to their house. But people will tip like $50, $60. And
wow.
Like, think about it. If I do a $400 trip, they're tipping 10 to 15%. It's pretty nice. So I have done that before to help, like, you know, help with the freelance game so I can keep doing what I love and enjoy it. If I had to deliver an order to a professional sports stadium, especially one in Los Angeles, I would lose my mind. I have lost my mind needing to deliver to apartment buildings before. There's no world where I would deliver to a stadium.
Because of the logistics?
Yes. You have a time frame. You're supposed to get there at a specific time. If you don't get it on time, you're in trouble. Could you imagine trying to, like, it's already nuts trying to park to go enjoy yourself at a game, right?
That's true.
I'm barely willing to do that. But I'd have to be willing to find parking, go into a stadium, walk the pizza all the way in, get back to my car, and get out of there in time to do more deliveries. No, not happening.
Here's the problem with being a media member is I've gotten so spoiled, right? Because you have good parking. You know, it's not right by the stadium, but it's free because you're media. It's only a couple of spots away.
Right.
Obviously, the press box, you get some food. So I'm not saying it's hard for me to go to games now as a fan.
Yeah.
But I have to have
harder.
Good seats.
Yeah.
And the other obnoxious thing is being a social extrovert. I'll get suite tickets if I want to go as a fan or whatever.
Right.
So it's like I have lost the ability to rough it.
Yeah.
I really have. I ain't roughing it. If it's between, especially at like an NFL game. Hey, do you want to go sit in the seats at the top of the? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because I never have. I started covering the NFL when I was a freshman. I mean, like I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'll
stay at home.
So it's tough for me at Minute Maid. Our kids are in the Astros Buddy program, right? And so you get free tickets to the Astros Buddy program. And so we were like, you know what, this isn't bad. And my wife's like, do you want to go? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Now, I've been covering the Astros for a long time. It's mostly been press box. If it hasn't been press box, it's been my wife's grandparents' season tickets, which are like behind home plate, like 12 rows
Not
up.
Not bad.
So that's been my Minute Maid experience. We did the free Astros Buddies tickets, nosebleed seats. And it was hot, and I'm like, this is the most miserable experience.
Happening.
So I'm like, yeah, we're not taking the free tickets anymore. We're paying more to get mezzanine tickets. The mezzanine is my favorite place to sit in Minute Maid. But the same thing, NRG, I've never been to an NRG game where it hasn't been my friend's season tickets, a suite, or the press box. I would never sit in the nosebleed. And I miss the food in the press box. I need to get back in there. All the food
NRG
is so good.
The NRG Stadium food is un-freaking-believable.
I've been roughing it. To all the listeners out there, they're spoiled.
I
get the $15 like crappy pizza that they get, and I sit there and I watch my Texans lose to the Colts 21-7.
Sean is the everyman.
God bless you.
Yeah, exactly. We're the spoil. We're District 1. Like if we're
the
going 300 by 300
level, I'm sitting there.
Johnny Depp allegedly could be getting paid more than $300 million to return to Pirates of the Caribbean after he was dumped in 2018 amid the abuse allegations over, of course, Amber Heard.
That's wild.
It is wild.
I'm just glad that we don't have to, like, look. Yes, I am a 36-year-old man who likes to lay in bed and watch TikTok for 5 hours a day. Sue me.
Paul?
But pretty much. I am so glad I can get on TikTok and I'm not inundated with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp stuff. So, like, if he can go back to being, he is great as Captain Jack Sparrow. I think that maybe it was a little bit less one-sided than the trial made it seem.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a lot of money. Why do all these people who do all these dumb things and get in all these crappy situations, or they do nothing, why do they keep making all the money and I have to keep delivering groceries to people?
Yeah, I don't know. John Wall, Johnny Depp, I guess if your name is John and you're famous, you can do whatever you want.
Guaranteed $230 million contracts?
A man on a Southwest flight airdropped a sexually explicit photo of his wee-wee and accidentally did it to all passengers, leading to a police waiting to escort him off the plane upon his arrival. It's a viral TikTok, speaking of your favorite app, Address the man as a user addressed the man as Larry, and he's seen getting reprimanded by the user and a flight attendant for allegedly sharing a graphic photo with all passengers.
Oh no! Did he airdrop it?
Especially as kids sat behind him. I saw his iPad had AirDrop open, so I knew it was him. And yes, I did make a scene. Somebody asked him why. He said, just having a little fun. Ooh, so maybe it wasn't on accident.
What? Just having a little fun? Get out of here. That's the, this is why I know people kill me for this. This is why I have an Android. There is no AirDrop. I can stop people from sending me things at any time.
That's you have an Android?
Oh, yes, I do. I am a green bubble through and through.
And if you see the picture on this story, let's just say he looks like the type.
He does look like the type. You don't see it and think, oh, he would never. You see it and think he absolutely would. All right, that's been another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Join us again tomorrow. Josh Beard with us all week. Up next, you got Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5.